This is the Arcane Dice Podcast.
Favors owed. Debt called in. Does fate beckon when obligation calls? Tamora herself smiles when luck and kismet conspire to draw new adventurers to her fold. The Arcane Dice Podcast welcomes you to join them for The Lost Mine of Phandelver.
Would not accept that.
Well,
hey, Kat,
not anymore.
Hypothetically, if somebody was planning a trip to Japan, I have to pop a human version of a baby orca out of my body. What part of Japan do you live in?
We're in Nagoya, so it's like the middle, middle area.
Okay,
yeah. Middle of the banana.
I've actually been looking at a decent amount of stuff that's happening in Nagoya. Nice. Okay.
Yeah, Nagoya is great.
Some like very cool shrines.
We do. And it's easy access to Osaka, Kyoto, Tokyo from here. It's very central. And my house is like a 10-minute train ride from the Shinkansen. That can get you pretty much anywhere.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah. You're also super close to Nara, which is my favorite thing in all of Japan.
You just love the deer?
Oh my God. They look so suplexible.
I hear.
Vince loves animals based off of whether or not he can do a top rope move on them.
There's a really long-standing argument in my family about whether or not I could take a deer in a knife fight.
Apparently, if they think that you have biscuits, they'll bite the shit out of you. Assholes. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They're beautiful.
I mean, if you go there, you're so styled. You can take one. Sharing?
They're very lovely. We got chewed out when we got home because we didn't bring home these magical deer summoning cookies.
Deer summoning cookies?
Yeah, bird food.
They see you with a cookie, they come.
Oh, I need my notebook.
Man, I have to upgrade my resume.
You went to the trouble of making notes. You should.
What do you mean? It's not a notebook. It's a goddamn manifesto.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, give me 2 seconds. I'm not going to go to my work computer, so I'll be within shouting range, but like, don't shout at me.
Shouting range.
Don't at me.
But don't shout.
Quick question, guys, for those who are more familiar with Roll20 than I am. How do I minimize our character icons? Because right now they're like taking up like that much.
Oh, are you talking about that bottom thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, go to your settings.
Okay.
Video. Right hand side.
Yeah.
I should follow this.
And go to, I think it's text chat. That?
It's video.
Video. And then there should be a box.
Go to the videos display tab. Oh, under
there
video,
you go.
And you can go names only, and if you want them on bottom or the top.
There's a way to shrink them, though, too.
So you can go large, regular, or small.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, hey.
There.
Look at that. Okay. Look at that brains you guys have in your heads.
I don't hate that. Yeah, it wasn't immediately apparent because I just saw audio video chat. And
yeah, it doesn't really make a lot of sense.
Yeah,
it did work.
Just showed up the nameplate and
BDU.
Just so you don't have a whole bunch of names blocking off the entire screen, so you gotta.
All right, I would say let's pitter patter and put the rules in the chat because I mean.
All right, I just want to check at the bottom here.
Midnight Oil is burning.
Chase, right? Who the fuck is Smugnificent? I'm guessing that's Vincent. Right. Dear Lord, man.
I love if I can change my name.
You got
name
like
for
six different names, fucking. Yes, you can absolutely change your name in here. And it's just for this specific. It would be just a specific tab.
Yeah.
Go to your settings again.
Okay, yeah, so I can.
Yep. Personalization and display.
It's fantastic. If you guys want to do that right now so that it matches your character, so. Because I believe Dave's got this up on the recording.
I do.
Get up, biddy, up, biddy, pop,
biddy, biddy. Make sure everybody's got a different color matching her.
Hold on.
I am the pink.
Okay, I don't think I know how to be of color. That sounded weird.
Same place you change your name, I think you change your colors. I gotta say, though,
let's not start that way.
The view from the player's chair is not as good as the DM's chair.
Oh,
and the air is a little thicker.
The air is
fog.
I'm enjoying it sitting in a player's chair and not the lofty throne of power.
Well, that's well, sure.
It's nice seeing you as people and not ants. It's good.
And wishing to destroy you and crush you beneath my boots.
Somebody do me a favor and just let Matt know we're just starting with roll zero for whatever. But we'll get started so that we can actually start recording here. Well, I've been recording for like 25 minutes now, I think, but I'm not sure about Dave. I'm at 18 minutes. I just crossed 18 minutes.
All right.
Anyways. All right. So welcome all you all to the new campaign that we will be attempting to do. Dave and I were talking about this earlier. We're looking at like once every month to month and a half kind of thing. I don't want it to go too long because obviously then you guys will start to forget where you were, what you were doing. Because aside from Morley's somewhat scribbled notes and Chase's, I don't want to say gibberish, but gibberish, you guys often don't take very good notes for reminding yourselves where you are, what you're doing, what's happening. So, and I mean,
I take very clear and concise notes. No notes at all.
Very, very specific things. Yes, yes. The frog was a frog. Is it a very clear and concise note?
The frog is the wife.
That's right. Sorry, my bad. Very clear and concise. Makes perfect sense, especially after a month and a half of not playing, right? So that's what we're going to look at. We're going to try for about a once every month, month and a half, we'll try to get. And we'd like to do two episodes each time we do this so that we have these as backups for when the other Arcane Dice podcast is on hiatus because Matt or Morley or me or Dave or Chase or Vincent or Kat are not available. Well, I guess you guys aren't available for the Arcane Dice. Anyways. Exactly. So Vince and Matt or Kat are not part of that one, but just in case. So that's what we're looking at. So every like month, month and a half, it will not be a specific, like not the third Thursday of every month. We are going to try to work around everybody's schedules as much as possible to make sure you guys are getting the optimum playing time without screwing up your lives on the outside kind of thing. So that's what we're looking at for getting that going. Obviously for our listeners, we have our semi-standard group that's going right now, except for Matt, who's driving home from picking somebody up at the airport, but he will be joining us eventually. We also have, obviously, Dave, who's now the player, Dave, not the GM Dave, so he's come down from his high mountain.
You're all like regular people to me now.
Yeah.
He's PD, not GD.
I get to eat while you do this?
Like, are you eating a tortilla right now that you're dipping in
something? It doesn't matter what I'm eating. The fact you can
eat anything. Tortilla and peanut butter is glorious. I'll just tell you that. But we have Vincent, who has joined us for a Christmas special or two before. He is going to be joining us for as a regular, hopefully, player with us for this. And then we have a longtime listener, friend of several people, who is joining us all the way from Japan, as you may have heard before. And we have Kat. And she's joining us all the fucking way out there. Throw out all those wonderful little tidbits and things, and that's why we got the treats at Christmas time. Was Kat was kind of just that stuff to us. So if you guys haven't watched, feel free to hit the other podcast and see that as well. But
I shared with Tegan; she's a very thankful Kat.
Yes, I liked taking all of the things and putting them in my mouth.
Well, I mean, that's
Jesse immediately stole the sour gum.
I still have the tongue gum.
Oh, yeah. No, I do still have one of the blue tongues. Yeah.
All right. So just to go over some of the basic rules of what we will be doing a little bit differently in this as opposed to some of the other campaigns that we've done. So while you guys were prepping your characters, you were given the rules of all official creatures, no UA, unless you could justify it to me and we would talk it out. And I don't think any of you guys actually went to the UA. So that's good. Potions can be prepped and administered via bonus action. So on your first bonus action, you can prep the potion. your second bonus action, you can use the potion. So you don't have to use your action to burn or utilize a potion. It just means that it takes two bonus actions to use a potion. Clear as mud?
Ooh. Ooh.
Got a question?
Question for the teacher, please.
Okay.
Question.
Give me a question.
How long does the potion, like, stay prepped?
Well, they don't. Most potions won't go bad. So okay, if you pop the cap and you don't drink it, then...
I prep all my potions right now.
Walking around with a whole bunch of potions. Don't spill.
Now he immediately has to introduce the you need a hand free to prep a potion.
No, you can hold all the potions. Always just prep. Means you dropped your weapons. That's fine. That's all fair. Yep. You're walking around with a whole bunch of bottles in your fingers like a homeless guy. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
You gotta craft like one of those beer hats and just have your potions sitting in the top and just
pay off. If he wants to build that, healing. If he wants to take a level in artificer and build artificer? A home as healing potions, fucking absolutely.
What if I drink a potion but don't swallow it until I get hit?
Well, you run the risk of them hitting you in the stomach and you spitting it in their face and them getting healed.
That would be amazing. And
covered in sick. Ew.
Whatever, you're healed. I don't spit in my face. I don't care.
Dirty, that's a drink. All right.
So if they get healed from the spray,
heal from the
does spray. That mean the Baldur's Gate healing grenade potion system works?
Oh,
now Kat's excited. Baldur's Gate. Yeah.
Those are good questions.
Those are good questions.
Like all three we'll cross that bridge when you guys find
it. You realize none of us have potions at this point.
Not just that.
Spit your potion on us.
Grenade, I think, will be the harder thing to find. That's right. Yeah. I had told you guys that your backgrounds could be personalized. Your characters, obviously, there's some of the new rules that are coming out through D&D before whatever they're calling D&D 1 or beyond or what the fuck, I don't know, D&D 6. So you guys had the ability to pick and choose where you wanted to, if you wanted to build a background as opposed to utilizing one of the ones that was available, but none of you guys did that. However, if you have a second character that you haven't finished building, Matt, you can probably look at that as well. So for leveling up, when you guys go to level up, you're going to require skilled people to teach you. So while you will get the hit points right off the bat for most of these, some of your skills, like learning your spells, or if you take a feat or something like that, there has to be somebody around you that can learn from. Exactly. So it's a skill set that you'll have to achieve. Now, that will only start after level 2. So from level 1 to 2, it's a freebie. You get all of your stuff and no practitioner is required. Level 2 to 3, it's going to be a practitioner, and it says a day of training, but it's going to be like several hours in a town or some area learning from somebody. However, if there's somebody else in your party that has a skill set similar, they can teach you some of this if they have it already. So if one of your party
members... How does that work for divine magic?
Well, I guess you're going to have to find a practitioner of divine magic.
Or like communing for a certain amount of time.
I'd go for communing.
Right, like 800 hours of meditation equals
divine smite.
Yeah. 800 hours. Wow, that's, you're looking at red seal trades. I still think you're going to have to find somebody, even if it's divine, doesn't matter what the skill set is, you'll have to find somebody of that skill set or variety that can help you focus enough to learn those skills from your class.
Oh shit, that applies to me because I'm a cleric. Damn it. Does.
Well, don't tell everyone. You're ruining it.
If you're stuck in a dungeon, loud.
Jesus.
You don't get your benefits then.
Say again.
What you're saying. If you're stuck in a dungeon,
you don't get the hit point increase. And we will discuss some of your other benefits that you can get. But for some of the specific skills, you will have to be trained by somebody else. There's enough time, I feel, between towns and dungeons in this adventure that I don't think it'll become an issue for you guys.
Oh, wait.
We trust you.
Do you intend to use experience-based or like landmark or chapter leveling?
I will be doing kind of landmark, giving you guys when I feel it's necessary.
Okay.
based on how you guys are. Well, it is, and it's just rather than having you guys nitpick and roll through, and it's also a larger party, so a lot of these scenarios that they have for many of these adventures, you guys would be getting less experience because there's more of you, and it's divided across that basis. So,
we'd have to kill way more creatures.
Exactly.
And if we can't find them, then I mean, the only thing that leaves is townsfolk.
That's right. Oh, yeah. You gotta take
your eyes open for deer on the way through.
They're really low experience. I'm just going to point that out. Don't start killing town people. Also, you may want to be careful because old adventurers are a thing, and you don't want to fuck with one of those at a low level.
Yeah, but they'll have the high experience.
Yeah, like if you kill
it, and they can teach us how to.
You have to live
when they're to
enjoy that high experience. You're correct.
It's true.
Next thing for attunement. You guys will have to complete an attunement, an arcana check.
Oh.
So you will actually have to be successful. You'll have to arcana check for a successful attunement. And now you'll be able to try this at least once a day. Every time you rest, you'll be able to try to attune. But if you fail the arcana check, and obviously this arcana check will go up higher. So if you've got a higher level item, it will take a higher level check in order to attune to it. Once you're attuned to it, you're good. That's it.
You can't just sing to it and call it my best friend and be attuned to it now?
Correct.
Are you bard again?
No.
Do you get beaten up by your ancestor every time you try and fail?
Yeah. Yeah, right. I forgot about that. Oh my God, that's in the movie. Right. Shit.
It was.
You do not get launched every time you try to attune to it. It's not the.
That'd be great. Like, put on the hat. Bang.
Yeah. That's not how it works. You will be able to attune up to your proficiency bonus worth of items. Okay. So if an item requires attunement, you guys start out with proficiency of +2. So you'll be able to attune to a maximum of 2 items. When that goes up to 3, then you can go to 3 items, 4 items, so on and so forth.
Yeah. The gimme items from the beginning need attunement?
Yes. Right. All of your heirlooms that you should have will require attunement, and you are already attuned. Yeah. Because they're family items, you will be naturally attuned to them. Correct. The last thing I will bring up for points is there are variant rules for potion use. And if you drink more than one potion in a short order of time, there's the possibility of side effects, let's say. So they can be good, they can be very good, or they can go poorly. So
can they be wild?
That's because we have nobody on the wild magic table.
Good.
They're very, very similar. So yes, there are the potentials for both fucking glorious, wondrous things and disaster for people drinking more than one potion in a short order of time.
You know what?
All right.
No risk.
Morley,
no
this reward. Is your wild magic table.
Yeah, that's why Morley has them prepped. We're losing.
This is either going to go real good or real bad.
Either way, it's going to be explosive. No.
Yeah.
There's some neat little. I got a little chart here. I don't think we'll have to worry about it for today, but yeah, some I'll interesting that stuff challenge. That will happen with potions if you're imbibing more than one in a short order of time. All right. I think that covers.
That sounds like a challenge. About,
yeah. chug. No. All right. So. Does anybody have any questions before we kind of delve into starting this thing up?
Inspiration.
Oh. It'll be granted as per the usual. You can earn it. And I invite, if you guys see a moment where a player character has done something that is both like super in character or crazy that you feel is befitting of one, feel free to speak up and say, hey, I think so-and-so deserves a point of inspiration for that.
All right, so how are we using? Are we using inspiration point will bring you to 1 hit point if you're dying? Inspiration point allows you to roll 2 dice on a roll. How are we going to do this?
You ask, and if I agree, then you get to do it.
All right, but I mean, on the average, like, I'm going to use an inspiration point to roll advantage.
Yeah, that's absolutely fair.
I'm
fucking dying and I don't even want to roll, I'm just going to use my inspiration point to go to one hit point.
That we'll have to look at and see what's going on, but it's a possibility.
Okay. Question about role play. Now, Dave and I have a very in-depth...
Purple cinnamon! That is the safe word.
Dave and I have a very in-depth romantic backstory, and we would both really like to play it out. Are you just going to dark screen us, or what?
I don't know. I think I might make you guys actually fucking seduce each other. This isn't awkward for me. It's awkward for you. I don't have to roleplay any of that. That's the great thing. That's between you two.
Dave doesn't like that kind of stuff.
Apparently, he just doesn't like it with you, Chase.
Wow, Dave. I see how it is.
You know what, Chase? I will say this: you've expressed your discomfort at a lot of situations that involve intimacy and people, you know, sharing more than just words and touch. So there's a lot up here.
Yeah,
there's a lot up here, and I can get way off track. And I just want to keep you in a comfortable and safe space.
In a comfortable space. Yeah, that's. Yeah.
So, like, I'm uncomfy about a lot of things, but boy, do I also have a creative imagination. And I read a lot of books that I really shouldn't have, that my parents should have kept
Chase,
from me. But didn't.
How many times do we have to tell you to save that for the Patreon? Come on.
Vince is like, yeah, I just muted you guys. Like,
you
I'm done. Let me know when you're done.
If we need to get all the way to Felching, we can get all the way to Felching, Dave.
Oh, we don't want to find out how she good a bad there. Dragon is on the podcast.
Wow. Nope.
Wait, are we going to get a bad dragon sponsor?
Backpedal.
Oh, can you imagine? That'd be awesome. I would absolutely take fucking...
Would it just be like Morley's head?
If you don't start like sticking them to my forehead and shit. And smooth talk about like wide shoulders and muscular necks, you just have to tell me.
No, holy, hey, I'm
down for some muscular necking.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Get comfortable, necking? Right?
What the fuck?
That builds your comfort level, Chase, and I'm okay with that. My reply may not build up your comfort level, and I don't know where to go with that.
See, this is great. As long as it stays out of the DM's hands, I'm fucking all for this. Let's just absolutely. Player on player.
Raph, I want to put on my Roman Wizard hat.
Say again?
I want to put on my Roman Wizard hat.
If you want to put
that on might be too deep a cut. No, that might be too old a reference for ancient internet times.
Yeah,
I think four of us or five of us are older than you, Vince. You're a young pup comparatively.
Yeah,
I found out I'm not the youngest person on my team today.
The Tales of Blood Ninja.
Oh wow,
you'll have to look him up later, and you'll maybe remember.
No, I remember. Vince, yeah,
no,
our internet. Started off as Faces of Death.
Yeah.
Yep.
Of Death? From the moment? No. I'm not sure I understand.
No. Oh, buddy.
It was a video.
Oh. The Faces of Death?
Faces of Death.
Yeah, no, I'm maybe too young for that one.
You're lucky.
We're a little older.
It was all the Pain Olympics, salad fingers, and that sort of thing when I was little. How are we?
Okay, but like salad fingers, I was watching in like elementary school, which is probably not something that I should have been allowed to. Yeah,
that's what I mean.
Yeah, but you're watching Charlie it as like uniform. This is my dad used
Llamas
to watch.
Llamas with hats. You can't wear Llamas faces, with hats holds Carl. Up, all right.
Llamas with hats holds up.
All right. So, is there any other questions besides we just touched on inspiration there? Anybody else got anything else you'd like to know about? Anybody?
Touched on inspiration?
Not at this point.
I don't remember us touching on inspiration. Are we allowed to stack? Yeah or nah?
I will allow for a maximum of two inspiration points.
Two inspies.
Two. Unfortunately, there's only a tab for one on your sheets, so you'll have to write a note or something that you have that. All right?
Gotcha. I need to step away for 2 seconds, and I will be coming back with carbohydrates. Sorry, Brad.
Carbohydrates. Pasta.
Touch my avocado sauce fingers. So sorry if I'm playing with it all game.
Do we want to? We want to play a quick game of Rollies to see if she fucking comes back with bread or pasta.
That's good.
Oh, carbohydrates. What about cookies?
I mean,
Oh shit, I didn't even think of that. That's fair.
I think she's quick, so we'll see.
I'm gonna say pasta.
I say just a loose handful of oats.
Is this how we roll initiative for the first round?
Yeah.
A loose handful of oats. Honey and oats, like the horse's leg.
Honey in one hand, oats in the other.
Yeah.
And a horse.
So much fucking crunching on the feed.
I need to get her a feed bag.
Just a bit of hay.
See, I was going to eat chips today, but then I'm like, no, I'm still the one who does all the fucking editing.
Winning.
Do you try to edit out people eating?
No, I gave up.
I was going to say, you're too kind to these people if you're trying that.
Raph is a cereal eater.
I try to mute when I...
And his fucking jaw, it does more than click.
Well, I mean, it's taken some damage in its time, so...
Yeah, and his mic when he's eating is usually right up against his jaw.
No, no, it's over here against my forehead, so it's that bone conduction.
Oh, no, whatever it is, man, but you get this gooey click, and then the crunch of whatever he's eating.
That's a good description. I like that. That's fantastic, but it's very accurate, I feel. That's,
yeah, it is very accurate. I know, because I hear it on a regular fucking basis.
Hey, the cat's taken over for Chase. And it's going to show us its asshole, of course.
Hi, Delilah. Look at that
naked ass. Come on, Delilah. That's Patreon content. Stop that.
Hey, kitty.
All right. Yeah, we're waiting for Chase here because she's getting her past. Oh, well, she's getting carbohydrates. She didn't say what kind.
I bet you it's barley.
She's back.
Oh, she's a cat.
It's a beer. Oh,
she's got a cat.
It's a cat. A cat's not carbohydrate.
That's not.
I mean, it might have carbs in it.
You're muted, Chase.
How much four-legged cat was in there?
More ass than cat.
There was a significant amount.
Okay. She's like standing in the dice container that Dave gave me. I like walked into the room. She's like, bow!
Is your carbs just beer?
Yeah.
No, Jesse realized that he didn't cook the rest of it.
For the rest of you?
Oh, I was supposed to cook?
Enough for me, everyone, but none for thee. Oh,
for everyone.
Oh, Jesse. It's a good thing we got you on the calendar.
I got like pierogi and sausages, and I was like, I have some onions. You can throw some broccoli in there if you want. And like, I got some Ukrainian sausage.
He's so pretty.
Why would you ruin pierogies with broccoli?
What is
vegetables, Dave?
Yeah.
Yeah, you have onion. Onion is a vegetable.
Okay,
Do the broccoli on the side separate, but you don't mix
it. None of the broccoli got like chopped up or cooked in it, so you're fine. But then Jesse came into the kitchen and he was like, I didn't cook any of the sausage.
Oh, okay. So you're waiting for your dinner is what you're saying.
Yeah.
All right. So I guess we will get started here. So how to open. Dave, can you give us some like generic adventure music, something like that. What can you select?
What do you want? We want something like we're opening.
You betcha, lighthearted, generic adventure tune.
Like if you open with like the Friends theme, that would be funny as shit.
Ah, not the Friends tune. Boo! It's got to be better than that.
Down.
All right.
River. You got something going there, Dave?
Yeah, we got some classic medieval folk round.
Some folk round? We're fucking around? All right.
Yeah. You got your loot, you got your strings. It's
perfect. So, time of year that you guys are starting here is, we'll say, early summer. Mid-months of the Ferunian calendar, which tends to match ours, except for the fact that they have 30 days in every month. That's even across. They do have leap years every 4 years, but we will be starting in around, like I said, the beginning of summer. I'd have to pull the calendar to pull the actual month for whatever it is, but that's when we'll be starting. Picture a forested clearing coming upon a small... not even a village so much as just a couple of houses in a small farming community. Pacing down a dusty road or trail that leads into this place is a lone figure, hooded on an unusual mount coming into town. She's got a map out in front of her with a compass leading her this way. As she enters town right at noon, or as close as we can tell because we don't have watches and things of that nature, she pulls to a halt in front of a house, looking up from the map, looking up at the house, looking down at the map again. As she's doing this, there's going to be a series of screams come from inside the house, followed by the sound of somebody falling down a set of stairs in all sorts of disorder. And the door to the front will fly open, and somebody will come rushing out in an absolute tizzy. Vince, would you like to describe
fucking tizzy.
What this person looks like running out this door?
He is whitish, with blonde hair. I mean, like, you saw the picture. He's with blonde hair and blue eyes, and he doesn't smell super great at the moment, or look well taken care of. Like, his clothes are very patchy for some of them, and also some of them seem really lovely, but maybe weren't made for him. He just kind of looks like a little bit of like if an orphan dressed themselves badly. And he looks real shook up and surprised and shocked and scared. And
Kat, your character sees this gentleman rushing out of the house. Would you care to describe what he sees standing in front on the path leading away from this house?
He's going to look up. And the first thing he sees, he meets the face of a giant boar. And as he extends his gaze past this well-groomed boar, he will meet the face of a half-orc, bluish skin, red eyes staring down at him, who says, "Are you okay?"
That's a good question. I'm here, which is good.
Whoa, there were screaming.
Are you okay? Is he okay? Pointing at the creature.
Yeah.
We're all okay?
Oh, this is Lord Chandral. You may address him as Lord Chandral. I'm Master. Are you the person who will assist Gundren?
Oh, you're for that. Yeah, she let me out for that. So I'm here for that, for assisting Gundren. Good to meet you, Lord Chandral. You're master or servant for Lord Chandral? Do you have a name?
Oh, no. His name is Lord Chandral.
The boar's name is Lord Chandral.
Yeah, yeah. The boar. That's what I mean. Are you master or servant for our dear, sweet, porky lord?
No. He is... A lord, he is my friend. But there was screaming. Lord. There was screaming. What?
Oh, I wasn't supposed to be here. So we're good. I'm good. We're okay. We can leave. We should leave.
Perfect.
Lord Chandran, it's nice to meet you. Does he speak common?
he just like kind of grunts in your direction. He's kind of ignoring you. He's quite aloof. I actually behind me have a mount, another horse. Do you need a mount? Are you good?
Yeah, I could learn that. That seems like a good idea. What's his name? Her name?
Up to you.
What happened to his genitals?
Horse.
Missing a part. Is he a gelding? I've heard of that happening on farms.
I think this is a mare.
Okay. So that's what that is.
So, Vince, give me a dex check.
Lost his penis.
I want to see if you get onto this horse correctly.
I don't anticipate that I do.
Animal handling.
I rolled a 19, but what's my dex? Oh, I have what's good dex, I think.
Oh, that's good.
It's not populating on my screen for some reason. All my lines up here are empty, but...
Oh, no, no, you would. Well, there we go. That's weird. If you just scroll a little bit, it'll pop up. But
yeah,
so perfect. It surprises you that when you go to mount this horse, it kind of flashes you back a little bit to your childhood. And you actually remember your father used to have you ride sheep for fun. You would have a small rodeo. Exactly. So you used to ride. So this is very, very, for some reason, it just throws you back. And it's just like riding a bike. You're right up there on the horse. Surprising, Aster.
Is that the horse?
That is not the horse.
Okay.
No, Aster's me.
Okay.
Oh, I'm Aster, by the way.
There we go.
You may call me Aster.
You can call me Ricky. I'm doing pretty good at this. Does this one have a name? Do you have a name, ma'am?
I'm Aster.
He's like pointing at the horse and then like talk to the horse. Like he's really not sure if it'll answer him or not. Like he thinks that there's a good chance
with animals.
There's a reason for that, but we'll get into that later.
I've got a huge feeling one of our sponsors may be the American Psychiatric Association.
This is going so well, guys.
Would it have to be American?
who diagnosed people with mental illness when they really just have had weird things happen to them.
Yeah.
Don't judge Ricky yet. You don't know.
Can I call her Lady Lamb Chops?
Lady Lamb Chops is now that horse.
Okay.
Lady Lamb Chops, writing it down.
That is your horse there, Ricky. You now officially have. What is the color of your horse, Ricky?
We're going to go with her being an Appaloosa.
An Appaloosa. All mm-hmm. right. Would you like to describe that? Some of our viewers may not be aware.
I am not a horse person.
It's like a whitey grayish sort of horse with like spackly dappling on it. I think there's maybe
other people refer to it almost
you
as
had
like a
me
paint.
Right up to I think so. I
dated a horse girl. What can I say? That's like all I remember.
See, this is getting us back into that American Psychiatric Association thing. That's. The horse girls. Well, all right. Well, again, Patreon content.
I'd be able to pull that word out of somewhere otherwise.
Right? So,
I mean, you nailed Appaloosa and Dappling, so like you're 10 out of 10, bud.
Aster and Ricky, after Aster consults her map again, she finds the next pathway leading out of town and heads west. Heading towards the coast near Neverwinter.
Keep up.
Oh, is that high up?
You heard her, Lady Lamb Chops. Are you like dressage trained, or what do you do? Just like still expecting her to answer.
All right, so Kat and Vincent and their mounts ride west. It doesn't take them long. It's several hours, about 4 or 5 hours. They come to the next location. They come upon a seaside villa, a well-established, very, very expensive-looking facility. Very, very high-end. But for people who own these types of properties, this is simply a summer home or cottage. But for the average peasant... this is definitely
is this a castle.
I think that's for you there, Kat.
What?
is this a castle?
It is not a castle.
It is not a castle.
Okay.
Have you not been out much?
I am out sometimes.
All right. Well, we have to pick up someone else. Do anything.
Now, were you saying we are what, north of Neverwinter or
just slightly north of Neverwinter, correct?
We are nowhere. Dave, you're not here yet.
Well, I am putting a map.
Yes. On the west. Let's say you're about 10 miles out of Neverwinter.
All right.
It's just that there's no town. This is simply a Like I said, it's a seaside residence, summer home cottage.
On the high road.
On the high road. Just off the high road. Into one of the coves. beautiful location. Absolutely fantastic. Has its own bay, and there's a dock with an obvious small ship. But the building itself, there are, you can see several armed guards up in the top. They are not super concerned as you approach. They are simply keeping a lookout for anything untowards with heavy crossbows, things like that, in their periphery.
Just nod at them.
Just talking to you, Ricky.
Yeah, Ricky, just nod.
Oh, Pat, Lady Lambchops, just nod at them.
The horse nods.
Understands. Common.
You guys approach. You come upon a stabled area in front of what appears to be a main entrance with a large wooden door. Again, everything is very, very elegant. Not standard, typical human architecture. Seems to be much more flowing and elvish of nature.
Mm.
But there's nobody out front.
All right. I think I'll lead us to the stables and dismount Lord Chandral. And I'll say to Ricky, we might need to walk around to find the next person. Maybe let's leave our mounts here. And I'll reach in a little bag and give an apple to Lord Chandral. And I'll be like, good Shandy. and then I'll toss an apple to you to give your mount.
I'll hold it up near her face, kind of raising it and saying, you know, smile, smile. And I'll like kind of reach up to like draw her lip back a little bit to like examine her teeth, and then I'll kind of put the apple in her mouth to eat.
Give me an animal handling check as you go to check this.
I teeth. Want you to get bit right now.
So bad. So bad.
Am I trained in animal handling? Let me double check.
Gift horse.
I have. All that. Oh, I'm not trained in animal handling. 13.
13.
Yeah.
The horse kind of like bucks its face away from you a little bit, but will accept the apple after you.
But are their teeth okay?
The horse's teeth are magnificent. White, shiny.
Horse teeth.
I'm going to give her a lot of praise.
White and shiny.
But like dignified praise that you would like give to a peer.
All right.
Teeth are white and shiny because they brush.
Lord Chandral sees your treatment and gruffly approves. I think it's this way. And I look at my map and kind of look around to see where we're supposed to head.
The front door is probably your best bet.
Okay. So I
Ricky does a barrel roll inside the basement window.
I actually
Ricky would keep himself like pinned to Aster's side. Ricky's in a very unfamiliar place and he has a babysitter that he needs to stay listening to. He knows it's dangerous to fall out of rules.
Aster's gonna take the long way around to just sort of scout all the potential exits of the house just in case something weird's going on. But she will come to the front door and look around. And
after knocking, there's a pause of probably 30 to 45 seconds. And then a slight elven woman opens the door. She is, while elven in appearance, she is still much older than most elves you usually see. She's of accelerated age, shall we say. Mm. But she is still in exceptional health. And while moving a little bit slower, she still seems, the only way to describe it is, if you've ever dealt with like boxers or fighters, she's got that spring, that's exactly that kind of that weave and bob step going for her. She still seems very, very put together. She's not falling to the frailty of age. She's still very, very strong, it seems. Although, like I said, she moves a little bit slower. And as this door creeps open, you see this little old lady kind of standing there. And she's shorter. Age has kind of stooped her. She's also an elf. And I believe Aster is 6 foot.
Yeah.
Taller one. So she opens the door and... Oh, hello, dear. What is it that I can do for you today?
Gundren says his regards. And we're looking for the person who's going to assist him.
Oh, Gundren. I haven't heard that name in many a year. I think I got a letter from him not too long ago. Come in, come in. And she leads you into a reading room.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, just have a seat here while I find the letter and we'll see what is happening and what's going on. And she goes and she's like, most of the room is very, very organized, except for she's got a large wooden desk made out of something like rich mahogany. And it's beautifully, beautifully carven. It would have taken a master to create it. And she starts like pilfering through you. There's just letters all over this thing. Yeah, it's the only spot in this room that is not immaculate. And as she's going through, she's just continuing to talk and just absolutely random things about the weather and you know, the boating conditions and the fish catch of the last day that they had seen. Just going on and on in that you know, that darling old lady drawl that they tend to get. And finally, oh, here we are, she says, and she pulls out a piece of paper. And hold on a second.
Reading it again for the first time.
Pretty much. Yeah, her, you can tell her she's like 80% there, but there's still some...
Yeah.
Disconnects going on. So eventually she's like, oh, well, I mean, if I was a couple of years younger, I'd be all over that. Gundren's a bit of a firecracker. And when we were adventuring, and I'm not going to lie, there were some sparks there when we were younger, but I don't know. I've got an idea. She'll go over and she'll ring a little bell that you can hear echoes somewhere upstairs. And then, hey, Dan!
Oh, that's me.
Aiden.
That is you.
Not me.
I was wondering how long that was actually going to take.
Right? It's more together. Realistic this way.
I did that on purpose.
Mom, what?
Meatloaf, God!
Aiden hears the bell, and he comes downstairs. He is soaking wet. Hair all brushed back and just a towel around his waist. And as he gets down to the bottom of the stairs, he kind of just like leans on the lower banister, one leg up on the bottom stair. And he's like, Auntie, I see we have company.
He's going with that accent, is he? Fantastic. Yeah. Love it.
That's going to be hard to hold.
This is going to be great.
Right?
This is going to be glorious. Love it.
I've been training so long for this.
Putting it in my notes, Morley. Yeah. Very
Sean
bad.
Connery.
Sean Connery.
Slightly more Sean Connery, slightly less Bane.
Right?
Yeah, Auntie comes over.
Nobody knew who I was before the
What did I tell you about using my good towels? And she literally grabs your towel and just like pulls it away and like shakes it out and then like hangs it somewhere to dry. So you're now buck naked in front of everyone.
Not even a flinch. It's like he planned this.
Aiden.
Aster, is this a festival?
Festivus for the rest of us. Oh. Yeah.
Esther's just rolling her eyes, thinking now she has to babysit two people.
You can't go back to town for a little while there, nephew. So I've got a plan for you. We're going to send you out, and you can just do a little bit of adventuring. And by the time you get back, the problems will have gone away. Aunt Aggie will take care of them. Don't you worry. But for now, I need you to go get dressed and put on some adventuring clothes and get your backpack and your stuff. We're going to kick you out the door and you can go on an adventure and meet my old friend Gundren. You remember the tales of Gundren, don't you?
Oh, Auntie. A sweet old lady and I love your stories. Absolutely. I will hustle these buns upstairs and get myself ready forthwith. And he'll very slowly walk up each individual stair.
Aunt Aggie will take about two steps of that, allowing you to do it, and then she will reach out and slap that ass hard. Get a move on. We don't have time to waste.
He's got that towel.
Ricky looked like he was going to follow Aiden up the stairs until the slap happened, and then he stopped and was like, no.
Get back down here in short order.
As he's going up the stairs, he's like, is this a 1 week, an overnight? How many pairs of socks should I be putting away?
Just fill your pack. Go, nephew.
Okay. Yep.
They're slowing up production here. There's things to be done.
And she's going to go back and, like, stuff the letter back under, like, the pile, like, in just a random place.
And it's like, would you guys like some tea and biscuits while you wait for Aiden?
And she's not even going to finish asking before she just putters off into another room and starts looking at things. So you guys can hear her puttering in a kitchen. Obviously, you can hear there must be a wood stove going in there because you can smell it already. You can hear a pot kettle going and she's pulling out something out of several cupboards as well.
All right. Aster's going to kind of search the room, like not in a rude way, but just kind of look things over, look at any books or notes or maps or anything that's just lying around.
There are the shelves. It's a significant library. Most people would never see this number of books in their lifetime. And this, again, is just basically this lady's summer home, and she still has a extensive collection. The spines of the books are labeled mostly in things like gold filigree. And are in multiple languages. There's you can see all sorts of languages across. Some of them you know, some of them you don't. As well as there is a large map of the entire coastline around Neverwinter that shows a lot of things that most maps wouldn't show, including like you can see where there's defensive fortifications, things like that. It's a little bit of an odd map for an average person to have, but this appears to be self-drawn. It's been painted by somebody who's...
While we're waiting, I'm going to compare it with my map and update my map.
All right. Yeah, you can. Your map is actually pretty close to it, but it does not have any of the, like, you can see defensive fortifications. And there's a couple of other things like ruins that... are not common across the areas. Do me a favor and roll me a... let's do a perception check.
I get to roll.
First roll.
Second. Because Vince... sorry, Ricky had to roll to see if he could successfully 18. Get on the horse.
And feed a horse without getting
bit. Was that an 18 I heard?
18, yeah.
18. Okay, give me 1 second here. Your map before did not have areas like Thunder Tree or Connyberry on it. On this map, though, you can see those.
My map doesn't have those on it.
Thunder Tree is basically directly east of Neverwinter down the river, just before the Neverwinter Wood starts heavily.
Yeah, no. My map. I think you're lying. You made that
Thunder
place
Tree,
up.
And what was the other thing?
It's a place called Connyberry. And it's out towards the, it's in between the Star Metal Hills and Old Owl Well that's past Neverwinter Wood. So if you follow the river out of Neverwinter there, all the way across the woods, south of that river where the trees meets, there's, I guess you call them foothills, would be the best description. Just before the foothills is Connyberry. As you're doing this, Aiden finally comes trudging back down the stairs. Oh, there's Matt. Hey, Matt.
Hola.
Well, I see you there.
Hola.
Matt was here before I went to go blow my nose.
Well, I didn't see him, so I've got several things going on my screen. Thank you very much. So Aiden finally comes trudging back down the stairs. He's got himself a pack and some good adventuring clothes. Still doesn't have any boots on.
Yeah, they're just casually slung over my shoulder, coming down barefoot. I have a pack stuffed with shit. There's a candelabra. There's a like very like elegant cross-stitched filigree kind of pillow strapped to the top of it.
What are you gonna pawn some shit in fucking Neverwinter from your aunt? That's rude.
I don't know what I'll need. I'm just like taking shit. If it was on a table, I just like took all of it.
And what is give a good description of what Aiden looks like now?
So Aiden is he's very elegant. He's half elf, so he's got the pointed ears. He's got a like well trimmed, manicured, snow white beard. He's got like a long kind of swoopy mustache. His hair's like just about chin length, and usually it's like kept swept back. It just naturally seems to be able to fall that way. And he has a very like unhurried, not rushed, kind of casual air about him, but seems very friendly. Like you briefly had this interaction with him and you're kind of like, I feel like I know this guy already.
Didn't
Agatha from the kitchen is out. Hey, did lay out some of the nice china plates, would you? I guess I don't want china, so ceramic plates, would you?
Absolutely, Auntie. And I'll just kind of toss my bag onto a chair, and I'll go over to one of the cabinets. I'll start opening it up and just rifling a couple of things out. I was like, "Are Auntie, are these the only guests that we're to expect, or are there more people coming?"
I wasn't expecting any guests, so these are the ones.
Righto. All right. And I'll just take out 3-4 plates, and cups, saucers, spoons, forks, knives. I'll set place for 4.
And I guess
you're bringing out saucers for what, lunch?
Tea.
Okay.
You can't just have a cup without a saucer, Chase. Jesus.
I thought you were bringing them out for like dinner. I was about to rage.
Out of the saucer.
Chase isn't there for dinner. She's all angry. You're eating, Chase. You're literally eating dinner.
You don't just bring out saucers to dinner. That's not what they're there for.
Well, that's how kittens get their milk.
Right? There you go.
So Aunt Agatha comes wandering back out of the kitchen. Sorry, Dave, what was that?
I was going to say enlighten us what the saucers are for then.
For putting the cups on.
Right?
And so you Chase do rest your cups on it so you don't like get tea stains on your table.
Obviously.
But there were certain proportions where you'd pour a little bit of your tea into the saucer and then you'd pour it back into the cup to help cool it down instead of blowing on it because
blowing is
it's
rude.
Undignified. Yeah.
Yeah. Just drink it right from the saucer.
See, they're getting manner lessons here and everything. This is amazing. So Aunt Agatha comes back in. She's got a teapot along with small cucumber sandwiches on a tray. It's a lovely silver, like, and it's not, this isn't like silver plate. This is like pure silver, like everything in this place. It is very, very elegant, very filigreed, kind of like, it's not actually a tray in that the bottom is not solid. It is like wired, all meshed through and designed, just exquisitely designed. She brings it out, lays it down, and obviously serving guests first, offering Ricky and Aster sandwiches, and then offering Aiden last a sandwich, making sure the guests eat first. And again, the entire time,
immediately upon having a sandwich in his hand, like he's almost like as if he hadn't eaten in a week.
Nope. Agatha was just gonna eat slowly and chew, dear. She says, right. Yeah.
Thank you, man. Well, this is delicious.
You're welcome. I'm not happy. And again, she's the entire time she's just telling stories that are they just span everywhere. There is no, it's basically Grandpa Simpson, you know, like, I wore an orange in you on my belt because that was the fashion at the time. Right? Like for just a second, she's just random, like all over the place with her stories, talking about her adventures at some points.
Esther wants to know if like she's listening for anything in particular about Gundren. If there's any funny things or.
She never wanders back over that. Okay. Again, once she put that letter down, she seems to have like gone off panel there. What's up, Chase? You got a look on your face.
Yeah, she is bitching out somebody about something. Jesse just got words.
Lack of broccoli.
Is I am in the middle of my room right now, facing towards my computer desk.
Yeah.
Okay.
At a different table, and Delilah is sitting behind the monitors of like my work computer, on top of the work computer, probably because it's warm. And I have a little bonsai tree, and she just like grabbed a branch from the bonsai tree, and with her other little stupid cat hand, just like knocked one of the leaves of it off.
Oh. And Delilah. Then stared at you.
And yeah, so I yelled, and she just looked at me. She hasn't fucking moved off of my desk, but like.
That's what a water spray bottle is for.
Yeah. It's at my front door because I've been trying to train my dog not to rush us when we come inside.
I've got like five of them around my house.
Yeah, they're like a dollar at the dollar store.
Yeah, exactly.
I know. That's what
Richie. Have you met us?
The trick is to get super soakers and use those. That way they have
no. That's a little too much. That's too much. You want the little spray bottles because you just get that mist, but not enough water to get anything damaged.
I mean, have like a couple of bottles. Like the closest one I have to me has like soap and jojoba oil in it, and I don't want to spray that around my house.
All right.
We have done this like 50-50 vodka and water, or like 25 vodka, 75 water.
That your morning shot?
Because that's
like, what the fuck?
For morning shot. Well, it's used in theaters for like, because like a theater costume can't be cleaned regularly. Yeah. So you have to sometimes like spray it with that.
The welfare
shower.
Dry cleaning.
Yeah, exactly. Welfare dry cleaning.
All right. We just learned about welfare dry cleaning. Right. So. Auntie Aggie gives a whole bunch of stories again. You sit for about, I'd say, 45 minutes, an hour. And she's like, oh, you had somewhere to go. And then she goes back to her desk and she rifles through the pile again and pulls out the letter. And she's like, oh, you're going to help Gundren, she says. Oh, he was a firecracker. Him and I, when we were younger. And again, like just.
Same story.
Yeah, it's getting a little awkward for Aiden there listening to his great aunt talk about what potentially could have been a fling in her past. She's gonna stand up and collect all the dishes, move them into the kitchen out of sight, kind of thing, and comes back and is like, "All right," and she'll start shooing Aiden towards the door specifically. Put your boots on. You still don't even have footwear on. What are you doing? And she's like, as you're sitting there, she's like brushing your hair back herself, kind of thing. And like when you go to like pull away, like you watch her hands move and they're fast. Like, like snaps onto his jaw and like gives him a little fucking, and then finishes it again. Like just showing that this woman, while older, is there's just something behind her that she was in her prime, probably a force to be reckoned with, kind of thing. So Aiden will get his boots on. Should I make you roll for that, Dex, just to see if you can actually tie him with your without getting slapped by your aunt fucking?
Yeah. Do that.
Is that servants to do it for you?
I mean, they're just slip-on boots, right? Who's got time for straps?
Come on now. You're rich elven. Even if you're half elven, you would have beautiful riding boots for this specific
endeavor. No, buttery smooth, right?
Exactly. Just like, exactly. Velcro.
Yeah.
High end.
I have a 17, good sir.
17. You managed to put your boots on. Congratulations, Aiden. You're
right.
You're leading the pack here.
The whole time, like ducking and weaving around my like semi chaotic manic aunt.
And Aunt Agatha is going to lead the two guests to the door and open it. And say, thank you very much. Make sure you take care of Aiden. He's a little slow some days, but he's a good boy and mostly does what he's told. So just keep an eye out for him. Sometimes he gets a little, and then she's going to do like,
as we're heading out, can I try and steal her little bell?
Yeah, if you want to. I'm going to warn you. This is a really high save. Yeah. So then this is going to be a sleight of hand.
I absolutely. Let's do it.
I'm waiting for you to roll.
Okay. It was a 15. My sleight of hand is a +3.
Not enough.
It's an 18.
No. As you reach for the bell, again, her hand shoots out of her robe and slaps your hand, like, and it's stinging. Like, the amount of force that she generates for such a small woman is amazing. Like, it actually stings you. Like, you know, you got to pull your hand back. And she's like, and you're not taking that with you. You've already got my candelabra. That's, you just leave the bell alone. And don't pawn that. That's a family heirloom. You bring that back when you're done, she says. As Aster and Ricky have moved outside.
Yeah, we're waiting.
Auntie Aggie is going to, like, kind of push Aiden into the corner there, a little bit out of the, like, eyesight. And she'll be like, here, I made you a lunch. And she's going to pass you a little, like, it's a brown bag. And it's got more of those sandwiches on it as well.
Aww.
And she's like, but I've got something special as well. Shh, don't show anybody else. And she's going to pull out a necklace. And off the necklace, she's going to pull a ring. It's an old, and it's, again, it's beautifully intricate, this ring. It's obviously very, very intricately designed, but you can see that there's multiple styles in it. It is not just, this is not an elven piece. There's other things to it that it's very, very intricate.
Okay.
She's going to say, I used to use this when I was adventuring and having to assassinate people, she says. You get this. It'll hide you whenever you want it to. Okay, so you just make sure you don't show them. You put it on and you don't tell anybody else about it. Okay, you promise me that you won't lose this. This is a family heirloom. This is way back in the day before I was even around.
That's. All right.
No. You give me that fucking accent, motherfucker. That's
Aiden will look down at this, you know, incredibly dangerous, shriveled old woman, and I will scoop my arms underneath her armpits and I'll pick her up and I'll give her a nice big hug
for the old back crack and
and I'll put her back down again and I'll kiss her on top of the head and I'll say, I promise that I'll return safely and I'll bring this cherished item right back to your hands.
Well, if you don't, I'll have you resurrected and kill you myself.
You wouldn't be family if you didn't.
And she shoos you out the door. Have fun storming the castle, you know. So Aster has a second mount or a third mount. She has several horses as well with her. So
Jesus.
Well, as she was preparing for this, she was expecting to pick people up, and no point in having you walk.
Lord Chantel,
so there are several horses. What kind of horse do you want to ride there, Marley?
You know what? Oh, I am going to pick the oldest, slowest, dirtiest, way backiest.
There is an old draft horse that was just hauling along a couple of things.
Yeah.
But it's larger than the rest.
Okay.
Dark brown, white hoofs, or with the white frills over the hoofs kind of thing. But it's definitely a draft horse, and it does have a saddle on it, but it's, you can tell it's a little bit.
I believe it's hooves.
No, it's hooves. Who but give me a.
Behoove you to know?
It would dog. Yeah.
Oh, okay. What, Dave gets an inspiration for that.
Not even in yet.
Right?
You gotta get some.
In the box. Check in the box. I gotta scroll.
Morley, give me an animal handling check here, real quick, first.
Oh, it was 14 plus amino.
Yeah, you're good. You're good. It's over a 10.
19.
There you go.
I'll walk up. So
the horse is willing. It's accepting of you.
All right.
It seems to appreciate you. But now give me a dex check for. Oh no, you're a fucking. You're used to riding horses. You're nobility, basically. So.
Basically grew up on.
So yeah, you're good to get on the horse, and Aster. Well, she can tell you what she wants to tell you heading out, and you guys can be heading south towards Neverwinter.
All right. Well, it was very lovely meeting your aunt, but we got to get going here. We have to head south, or everyone have everything they need? Guess so.
Gonna check my pocket for the ring. Gonna check the backpack. I'm gonna touch my nose and give you a thumbs up.
All right. Give Lord Chandral a bit of space. He doesn't like being crowded. And I take off. So.
Are you like walking?
So we head south.
All right, you're heading south. So it's going to take a couple hours to get there.
We just start off as a little trot out of town, and then we move into a canter. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So you've got a bit of a jag on to get back to town now that you've got you've collected the people you need, right?
Yeah.
Am I the only one that's doing horse motions?
Words Gundren.
You going to have a coconut?
There we go.
Yeah, right?
I actually do, but I don't have them in here. I use them at, if you ever go down to the theater there right by, right by Le Poutin, just off of White Ave? There's Metro? A theater. And the Metro, that's it, I think. Yeah, so if you go there, they often play Monty Python's Holy Grail.
Oh.
And they will give you little plastic cups to clap together when it's that time.
Amazing. But
I actually have coconut shells that I bring with me to the theater for that, so.
Nice.
It is definitely necessary for those showings. I love that theater. It's fantastic for the stuff they have going there. Dave, we're at, I think, about an hour. Do you want to take a quick 5-minute break and then we'll go into an official episode one? Or do you want me to just carry on?
We can, you know what? We can take a break. We can edit the break out and go right on. Everybody can refresh your drink.